Engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
My fellow Americans, welcome. It is Eric Erickson here across the nation, and I am delighted to have you with me. The phone number is 877-973-7425 if you would like to be on the program. I had an epiphany last night, I think. So I have a theory. I ran it by some friends. They were like, you know, I think you're onto something. We'll get to all the big headlines of the day. You got the Fox News poll that's up for Biden. The Emerson poll is up for Trump. All that sort of stuff, Supreme Court decisions. But I just, this is one of those things, I got to get it out of my mind, out of my mouth, so I can stop thinking about it. I think I'm right on something, though. When I was a lawyer, one of the lawyers at my firm in Middle Georgia, he helped a lot of family-run businesses. And he was the first person who tipped me off to this. It's actually a economic theory and business theory of family-run businesses. The third generation runs the business into the ground if they're not careful. And you have to go through serious planning to contemplate it and to consider it. And it has come up time and time again. Now, there are some people and some economists and some business experts. The Harvard Business School has tried to debunk this. They say it's mythology. But it's mythology. So many people believe it becomes almost self-fulfilling prophecy. In fact, it's so well known that there are books from the early 20th century in Germany warning families, family-run businesses, that the third generation will destroy your business. The Swiss have sayings for it. Even the Brazilians. The Brazilians believe and have a saying, prosperous grandfather, supportive son, poor grandson. That's how pervasive the mindset is, that among family, we're not talking publicly traded corporations, family-run businesses, the third generation has the propensity to run it into the ground. I've had several people tell me, in fact, that with Chick-fil-A, for example, is a family-run business, and that they went through a lot of planning and training, being mindful of this pattern of businesses to make sure the third generation, now in charge of Chick-fil-A, didn't run the business into the ground. And there's also a fear that the third generation of kids, they want to cash out. They want to make their company publicly traded. They put their wealth ahead of the company and the product. And there are these great concerns out there. And a lot of families do a lot of family planning. In fact, I've had Dave Ramsey one time himself tell me that he's talked to a number of people who are become concerned with transitions to the grandkids because family-run businesses and the third generation oftentimes flame out spectacularly. Now, why? The thinking goes that the grandfather who started the company pours his heart and soul into building a prosperous company. It's his other baby. He brings his son into the business who sees the labor of the grandfather, his dad, and how much he poured into it. He knew his father's sacrifices. And he respects it. The third generation comes along and it's all they've ever known. And they assume by virtue of who they are, the business is so, not because of the sacrifices made that he didn't see, not because of the care and attention, not because of the respect of the customers and employees, but because they were, it was, and because he disrespects that or doesn't even appreciate or understand what came before him and the sacrifices made, the third generation takes it all for granted and makes decisions that destabilize it, and it comes crashing down. You're wondering, Erickson, where are you going with this? What does this have to do with anything? Well, think about it this way. People talk about the American family or the Western family, Western nations. Think about this. in the grand scheme of things, we are now in the third generation of bureaucracy post-World War II. The bureaucrats have become technocrats. And it's the third generation. The first generation, depending on how you put your finger on it, but the first generation was directly involved in World War II and the collapse of Western civilization and the rebuilding of Western civilization, the repudiation of the evil of the Nazis and the Japanese and what they foisted on the world and the Italians and the Axis powers. The second generation, which is leaving leadership now and in many cases has already retired, they went through the Cold War and they knew the struggles of the first generation of post-World War II bureaucracy, having to reestablish the Western world order after a devastating world war, going through a Cold War where there was real good and real evil in the world between the Soviets and the Western powers. And now you've got the third generation in charge. The West has been dominant and supreme, wealthy and elite, and this third generation of bureaucrat coming into American and Western bureaucracies around the world has taken it for granted that they are the ones who made it so. The first generation knew it was the people, and their job was to be a support system for the people rebuilding post-World War II. The second understood from the first that they made real sacrifices, as did the people, to rebuild, and they appreciated it. The third sees a world they've always known. The communists never existed. The Soviet Union had already collapsed before their entry into the global world order, and they just presume it was always so, and that it was the bureaucrats and the governments that did it, not the people. And so I don't think it's a coincidence we're seeing globally in the West the same problems, whether it's in Great Britain or Ireland or Germany or France or Hungary or Greece or Italy or the United States or Canada or Japan or Australia or New Zealand. We're in the third generation of the bureaucracy post-World War II, like the third generation grandson taking over from the grandfather. This generation of bureaucrats in charge thinks they're the ones who did it by virtue of them in their position and those who came before them, not the people. And so they don't respect the people. They respect the bureaucrats. They respect the elite. They respect the technocrats. They have become the technocrats. A government of the people, for the people, by the people is now the government of the bureaucracy, for the bureaucracy, by the bureaucracy. And you people are something otherized by the bureaucrats. It's why when you go through the chain of custody of emails from the National Institutes of Health and the healthcare bureaucracy of the United States during COVID, there is this casual contempt for people who might want answers. How can they get answers from us? Look at what we have done for them. Look at what we have made. I mean, it's outrageous to me that in an American press corps, and again, it's a third generation post-World War II now, in the press corps, they look at this elite status of the technocrats who were bureaucrats but now think they can pull the levers and push the buttons and control the economy, and these guys, they're all cheering on the casual disregard of Freedom of Information Act requests, the deletion and mission of deleting of documents, and the careful wording and miswording of things to make it impossible to find. And nobody cares because we're supposed to trust that third generation by virtue of their position, not their authority. And that's the problem. So the first generation understood it was about authority, the authority by which they could make decisions. People placed their trust in them. They had all gone through the Second World War together. The second generation understood we're in this dangerous world with the Soviet Union. There's got to be legitimacy to the authority. And the third generation says, authority, I'm legitimate because I am. L'état, c'est moi. It's the position of the bureaucrats. When Louis XIV was asked, he said, L'état, c'est moi. I'm the state. Now the bureaucrats say in the Western world, they're the state. They make the decisions. It's, I think, the common thread in Western societies right now. The distrust and contempt that the elite technocrats have for the people, that now they've decided they know best. It's not us anymore, it's them. And so we see this with an elite in the press, with the technocrats within the bureaucracy, their contempt of the politicians who are elected to make the decisions. And oftentimes it's the politicians who abdicate their role to the technocrats to let the technocrats make the tough decisions. I mean, the Supreme Court is has a Supreme Court case coming down called Looper Bright. It's a technical case about something called the Chevron Doctrine, where the courts decided they must give agencies the power to interpret poorly written legislation. But there's been a shift over time, because what the agencies do is they don't take necessarily the most appropriate interpretation. They take the interpretation they want. Whether it's appropriate or not to the way the legislation was written, the agencies are now insisting this is what we say it means. This is a problem in the Cargill case over the bump stock, where the ATF repeatedly said a bump stock is not a machine gun because there's a particular statutory definition. And then suddenly after the Las Vegas shooting, said, oh, we change our mind after 10 consecutive years. We're going to change our mind now because this is now what we want. Who cares what the legislation says? We are the technocrats and we govern. Who are you to challenge us, people of the West? And this has now gotten to this populist moment where it's a popular revolt through democratic means, where the populace don't really have a coherent philosophy. When you listen to the populace around the Western world, oftentimes their ideas conflict with each other. Take, for example, American populace led by Donald Trump. They now suddenly want to replace the income tax with tariffs. It's tariffs for everything. It sounds great for populace who do not appreciate that a tariff will become a tax on the poor. In the income tax, the poor don't pay income tax. They will pay the tariff. And so the working class that is guiding this populist movement will be taxed oppressively by the people they elect. But they're not actually going to do that. They will not actually implement. They say they will. It sounds great. It whips people into a frenzy. Rah, rah, let's do this. Get rid of the income tax. They're not actually going to implement it, because when they have to sit down and think about it, and the income and the punitive measures that would happen to the poor, the working class, the middle class, they're not going to do it. But people don't care. They just want something other than what the technocrats and the bureaucrats are offering, because the technocrats and the bureaucrats, they're not offering solutions, they're offering themselves. And that's the problem. The third generation looks at all that has come before it and says it was always so, and decides in family-run businesses that it was by virtue of the genius of the family. They don't see the hard work and sacrifice of the grandfather or the preservation acts of the father. They see it was always so, and they presume it was by the genius of their family. And then they run everything off the rails. The third generation of the bureaucrats in the EU, Canada, the West, the United States, they see it was always so. They see a well-ordered society, and they decide it was by virtue of the bureaucrats. Therefore, the bureaucrats must exercise the power and control, not the politicians and not the people. But ultimately, just as the consumers of a business can decide the third generation family-run business is now disrespecting them and will go elsewhere, the business collapses. In democracies, the people say the bureaucracy, the technocracy, no longer respects us and is working for us, and we will have a revolution at the polls. A populist movement will swell up to replace the bureaucrats with something else. I think that's what's going on in the Western world right now. It's not a theory of everything. There are certainly other problems, leftism, Marxist indoctrination colleges, things like that. I don't mean to exclude them, but I think at the heart of the moment here is what we see with the third generation family-owned business is happening with the third generation of bureaucrats post-World War II. They think it was ever so, and they think it was ever so because of them. And so now they disrespect the people who actually were the ones who made it so. And the response of the people is now a popular uprising in ballot boxes across the world. And it's headed even with greater zeal here, I think, in November, because the technocrats and the bureaucrats drip with disdain for the people, and combined with the elite and the press, they don't actually like the people. They only like themselves, and they don't put their trust in the people. They put their trust in themselves, and there are far more of the people than there are of them, and the people will bring them hell.
Want to be on the show?
Hello?
I love your show.
Call Eric now at 877-973-7425. Want Eric's weekly recipes? They're super delicious. Text recipe to 33777 now.
Welcome. It is Eric Erickson here. The phone number is 877-973-7425. Listener Mary Beth emailed and said, don't forget In-N-Out Burger, another great example of a third generation of a family running successfully the family business. Notably, I know a little bit about that one. I forgot it at the time when I was talking about it. I was thinking of Chick-fil-A, but In-N-Out as well. The family went through extraordinary measures to contemplate passing the family business off to the third generation, and they did so quite successfully. In fact, In-N-Out and Chick-fil-A, In-N-Out in particular, is a textbook example that is studied in business schools for generational transfer of a family business because they did it so well. And the reason I bring this up in particular is just as a reminder that it really is a thing. There are a lot of people who try to dismiss it as self-fulfilling prophecy, but it is such a pattern that almost every industrialized country has sayings related to third generation family transfers in business. And you got to contemplate the third generation because the grandkid tends to have only known the success and never saw the struggle that came before and took the success for granted. So you got to walk them through that. There's some folks who want to chime in on this. I want to take your phone calls. I don't have a lot of time here to do justice. Be patient with me. Stay on the phones. I'll get to you. 877-973-7425. Also, when we come back, there's been a big decision from the Supreme Court today. It's a technical decision on taxes, Moore versus United States, we need to get to. And the Fox News poll. Since March, there's been a 7-point swing in the Fox News poll to Joe Biden. He's now ahead in the Fox News poll. Republicans aren't actually panicking, though, because of the other polling that came out today. And James Carville, well, he's talking about naked grandmothers to talk about the shock and appalling nature of Joe Biden's polling. I've got that audio. First, I got to tell you about Hillsdale College and their presidential selection survey. They want to know what you think about how we pick president in the United States. Normally, they educate you. Now they want you to educate them. Go to Eric, E-R-I-C-K, Eric for Hillsdale.com today and take the presidential selection survey from Hillsdale College and let them know what you think about the Electoral College, whether we need to modify it, whether this interstate compact idea that some blue states are pushing to tie Electoral College votes to the national popular vote is with merit. Reach out to them, Eric for Hillsdale.com. You can also learn a lot about this fine institution that is educating kids across America, not just in college, but they've got great K through 12 education programs as well that local districts can deploy. Go to Eric, E-R-I-C-K, Eric for Hillsdale.com. Take the survey from Hillsdale College on presidential selection and find out more about Hillsdale College. They really are phenomenal conservative educational institution. I know a lot of people who went there. I know several friends of mine who are sending their kids there. It's worth checking out. Eric for Hillsdale.com.
Smart, fearless, and occasionally funny. You're listening to The Eric Erickson Show.
Welcome. It's Eric Erickson. The phone number, 877-973-7425. Want to go to the phones here. Dwayne, you're going to be up first on The Eric Erickson Show. How are you?
Good. Thanks for taking my call. I hope my connection's okay.
Sounds good to me.
A couple of quick notes on your opening part there. Regarding the third generation, a friend of mine works at a Mercedes dealership, and he said that the mega dealerships around the country, when they're looking to buy something, they go to the third generation because that's the one who's ready to cash out. So that supports what you were saying about the third generation not appreciating it. But on your other point about your technocrats and all that, so back a lot when Trump was in office, there was so much talk about the deep state. And the left would always just laugh. Oh, that sounds so nefarious, the deep state. And I would, when I would get into an argument with somebody, I would say, forget deep state. I would say, do you agree or disagree? In Washington, there is an entrenched bureaucracy. And nobody could argue that there's not an entrenched bureaucracy. And so it's a very easy step to say, well, then wouldn't that entrenched bureaucracy certainly be willing to take steps to protect itself? And that's how I'd approach that.
Well, you know, and you're right. And so what did Trump do? Trump wanted to do things differently. He rethought, for example, I mean, let's go through the list. Getting out of the Paris Climate Accord, re-upping sanctions on Iran, moving the embassy in Israel, something that going back to Ronald Reagan had been promised. The bureaucracy had always blocked and convinced presidents not to do. He decides to do it, and so the bureaucracy turns on him, starts leaking about him, fawning negative stories because the bureaucracy decides that it is the important part of government, even though they are the ones designed to carry out the will of the elected officials. They've decided the elected officials are supposed to carry out their will. Dave, you're up next. Welcome. How are you?
Dave? Yeah, Eric.
Hey.
Yeah. Hey. Yeah. So I'm a grandchild of a family business. The difference is I went out, got a college degree, went off and worked for a large company for about 15 years. Then I came back to the business. So I had much more appreciation for the business and the hard work that my father put into it, my grandfather. And I put my heart and soul into it as a result of that. So I agree with you. You know, I've seen a lot of other companies with third generation. They take it for granted. They don't put any effort into the work of the business. The other thing I wanted to say was my parents grew up during the Depression, and I remember listening to my mother growing up as a child and all the sacrifice and the. They just didn't have anything back then. And my father was in World War II. He fought in the Battle of the Bulge. He got a Bronze Star and all the sacrifice that greatest generation made. So, yeah, good point.
Yeah, you know, David, it's interesting you said it. So I'll, while you're here, my buddy Brent, who's listening down on WOKV in Jacksonville, he writes this, says, fourth generation family business, work ethic pounded into me. The idea I only had what I had growing up because my dad, my grandfather, and great-grandfather busted their butts at times, took incredible risk, and took pride in a job well done. There was no separation between family name and business name. A blight on the business, an insult to the business, was treated as the same with the family. You worked your butt off to honor the family name. And that's the way to do it. And when you're mindful of that, I think, and oftentimes you go out, get a job elsewhere, and then come back, you get that perspective that oftentimes I think third-generation family businesses, if they forget to that, that's when they get in trouble.
Well, when you work for a large corporation, you experience the bureaucracy. And so then when you're working for yourself in a small business, you appreciate that freedom that you don't have in a large company. And that was the best times of my career was when I had my own business and didn't have all those constraints that you have in a larger company. So,
right. Yeah. Absolutely. Look, I appreciate the phone call, 877-973-7425. If you want to be on the program, I was thinking about this because I forget the article and I went back into my browsers to try to find it. And I was like, where was I reading that sparked all of this? But I couldn't find the piece, but essentially it was making the case that we are seeing a popular uprising of the citizenry, a populist movement spreading through Europe, Canada, the United States, Australia, New Zealand, Japan. There is this populist undercurrent that's rising, and the complaints are almost, regardless of the vast array of economies and issues, the complaints are almost all the same. That one is immigration is stirring this, but the undercurrent of the immigration debate is that the bureaucrats are not listening to the people and what the people want. And so there is this mass uprising of voters at the polls punishing the politicians, rejecting them, and going down a different path because of the bureaucrats who the politicians have allowed to oversee and manage. It's one reason I actually do favor the ability of the president to be able to fire the bureaucracy. We have a Civil Service Act in the United States that was passed after, I think it was McKinley was assassinated. And so essentially presidents used to, maybe it was before McKinley, in any event, presidents used to be able to pick every employee of the executive branch, essentially. And there was a patronage system, and a guy didn't get it, and he assassinated the president, and the Congress decided to come up with a civil service where we had this bureaucracy that was stable among administrations. But over time, it always develops a left-wing bias because the left wants to use government for an ends where the right tends to not, and so bureaucracy tends to drift left. That's why you get so much woke nonsense coming out of bureaucracies at the state and the federal government, even if the state itself is conservative. Look at Texas. And it's because the bureaucracy perpetuates itself, and it fosters an arrogance. And when you're third generation of the bureaucracy post-World War II, you have this sense that everything has always been so stable and prosperous, and you are ignorant as to the vast amount of sweat equity that went into rebuilding the world after World War II that the bureaucracies did play a role in, but were beholden to the elected officials. In any event, I want to move on to other stuff. I want to talk about the Fox News poll because it's actually suggests, and Fox is a pretty accurate pollster, Republicans are not panicked by the Fox News poll per se, but the Fox News poll does show a shift to Joe Biden. And in fact, the Fox News poll has been tracking a shift to Joe Biden. It's now up 2 in the polling for Joe Biden. In fact, let me give you the trend lines here just so you understand. In August of last year, it was Biden up 3. September, Trump up 2. October, Biden up 1. November, Trump up 4. December, Trump up 4. February, Trump up 2. March, Trump up 5. May, Trump up 1. And now Biden up 2. It shows a real shift in the Fox News polling towards Joe Biden. And in fact, all of the polling has tended to show a couple of points to Joe Biden. So what can we take from this? We can say the polling is wrong. But when all the polls have a common trend, remember the rule. Ignore the number, look at the trend. Who knows whether Biden or Trump is up? But the trend line has been a couple of points to Joe Biden since Donald Trump's conviction. At the same time in the polling averages, Donald Trump is still ahead. He's ahead by a half a point in the two-way race. In the three-way race, Donald Trump is up a point and a half. In the swing states, Donald Trump is still up significantly. Emerson College has polling that's come out of the swing states. Now, there's a clip here I got to play you. James Carville always is good for a soundbite. He was on News Nation in conversation with progressive Rob Reiner. You got to listen to this.
I don't think people really appreciate how bad Biden's poll numbers are. When you look at them, it's like walking down your grandmother naked. You can't unsee them, no matter how hard you try.
Yes. Yes. It's true. You look at Biden's poll numbers, it's like looking at your grandmother naked. You can't unsee that. That's James Carville's line. It's a very good line. It's a very memorable line. He's always good for a memorable line, but that's kind of the problem. Joe Biden should not be tied with a convicted felon. He should be trouncing him, and he's not. That's what has Democrats worried. He's in the poll averages. There's a negative 38.8% direction of the country and a negative 15% approval for Joe Biden. That's bad. There's also Frank Luntz.
To me, it's not that Donald Trump is winning so big in Iowa. That's not the story. It's that he's making it close in Minnesota. Minnesota is a reliable Democratic state. It votes Democrat in every presidential campaign. And poll after poll, I see Trump within 2 or 3 points in Minnesota. I don't think the media understands exactly what's going on right now. Yes, Trump dropped a few points after being found guilty on 34 felony accounts. But remember this, that would have destroyed any candidate as recently as 10 years ago. And the fact that Donald Trump is still even with, or in some cases leading Joe Biden after being found guilty of 34 felonies, oh my God, that is so significant. And one more point, I'm watching the independent vote. I don't believe that they're swinging back and forth between Trump and Biden. I think that they've decided that they hate both candidates, they hate both parties, and they're voting out of anger, out of desperation, out of resentment that this is where our political system has gotten. So be very careful in how you analyze what goes on from now through the debates, through the election, because I think there could be a hidden anger vote that surprises everyone on election day.
Oh, look, I think that's right, and I don't know if those people go for Robert Kennedy or if they go for Donald Trump because they're furious with Joe Biden focusing on democracy and not groceries, or maybe they stay home. But I do think that both parties underestimate the rage of independent voters who are disgusted with Trump and Biden as the nominees. And, you know, that disgust might actually translate into helping Donald Trump. Why? Because a lot of those independent voters simply think Joe Biden is too old for the job and they don't like Donald Trump, but they don't want a dementia patient in the White House. And so they hold their nose and go for Trump. The danger for both parties right now is they misinterpret the election. Like, for example, I think the Democrats misinterpreted 2020 and 2022. And there's a growing number of Democratic analysts who believe the same thing, that 2020 was not a rejection of Trump's policies, it was a rejection of Donald Trump. And 2022 was fury over the abortion decision, which I got to tell you, I originally dismissed, but I think the data has now shown that that's the case, that it wiped out the red wave as voter anger took over in August as the decision settled in. It came out at the end of June. You had July to percolate. The polling began dramatically shifting in August as the Democrats seized on it as an issue. It cut the red wave in most places around the country. In addition to the fact that at the time, people really were still internalizing and digesting January 6th and all the stolen election stuff, and the prosecutions were starting, things like that, and that caused a shift. And it was never about Joe Biden. It was never about affirming Joe Biden. The problem is the Democrats have now thought that that all carries over into 24. The antipathy for Trump carries over, and they have ignored the antipathy for Biden is greater than the antipathy for Trump. And while they make it about Donald Trump and restoring Donald Trump to power, they forget that people actually remember Donald Trump's presidency more fondly today than they did in the end of 2020. And more people would prefer to have Trump's policies back than Biden. And that may make angry independent voters who don't like Trump say, you know what, at least I liked his policies. I may not like him, but I liked his policies. With Joe Biden, I hate everything about him. And that's a powerful, powerful weapon for Donald Trump. Now, a powerful weapon for you is Vision Computers on your side, because your business or your home, they can be your tech support. All you do is call 404-COMPUTE or go online to visioncomputers.com. If you call 404-COMPUTE, tell them I sent you, you're going to save even more money. But they can be your tech support. So in 15 seconds or less, faster than a Google search, they can give you the answer. You need to know how to find a file on your computer that you saved. Now you can't find it. Call them 15 seconds or less. They're going to give you the answer. They're going to answer the phone. They're going to figure out the problem. If they can't figure it out immediately, they can remote into your computer, find the file for you, take care of your computer, do email support, printer support. Great tech support. You don't have to have an in-house IT guy with your company. You can have Vision Computers. So they save you money. They make you more productive. They keep your employees focused on their jobs, not their computers. And they can also do it for you at home. If you're a bit of a, well, technophobe, you got a computer, you don't like to have to use it, Vision, well, they can take care of that for you. They'll also build you computers. Call them, 404-COMPUTE. You're going to get a better computer from them than the one-size-fits-all big box store. 404-COMPUTE. Call Vision Computers. Tell them I sent you. They're going to save you even more money. Or go to visioncomputers.com.
He'll do the research and give it to you straight. Eric Erickson is live every weekday. Want to be on the show? Come on, be on the show. Call Eric now at 877-973-7425.
Hello there. Welcome. It is Eric Erickson here. The phone number is 877-973-7425. This hour of the program is brought to you by First Liberty Building and Loan. If you are buying a building, you're building a building, you're buying a franchise, you're buying out a business partner, business deals like that for your business, they make their own lending decisions. They might be able to help you. FirstLibertyGA.com. They also want me to let you know they're doing equipment loans. So if your business needs heavy equipment, they make their lending decisions themselves, can do quick turnaround in many cases. FirstLibertyGA.com. Any business anywhere in the United States can work with them. FirstLibertyGA.com. I want to tell you on a personal note, I decided when I wrote Before You Wake, the last book I wrote, that it would be the last book I ever wrote because I don't like writing books. But I have had so many people urge me to write a book about what's going on with the secularism in the world, how it seems to be modeling itself after religion these days. And I talk about it on radio enough. I have written a book, and it comes out next week. It's called You Shall Be as Gods. I'm actually going to be going into the recording studio in several weeks and doing the audio version of it. The audio version is going to come out, it's going to be delayed. But I hope you might order a copy of the actual book. If you text the word data to 33777, I will send you back a link to Amazon.com. They're running a sale on the book right now, a pre-sale release, so you get a discount on the book. My publisher has told me we crossed the 1,000 pre-order threshold, which for them is phenomenal. We are very close to 1,500, which would actually set a record in pre-orders for the publisher I went through. So if you will get me across that, I would love you forever. If you will text the word data to 33777, I'll send you back the link to Amazon. You can pre-order the book. We are going to be working on promos and doing book signings and things like that, particularly in the Atlanta area. This book is actually kind of special to me because it's more academic. It's very readable. In fact, a lot of it is monologues that I've done. And my friend Bill Blankshain actually took my monologues and helped me edit them up and make them a little more readable. And where I had noted information, he found the footnotes for me and really helped me with it. But the whole premise of this is to try to give you some hope for the future in how to navigate a world that seems like it's gone insane. It is very much written from a perspective of an evangelical Christian, but it also explains for those who just can't make heads or tails of how did things get so insane, that what you're seeing in the world right now is secularism itself is becoming a religion with priests and liturgies and rituals and passions that are given voice through a form of religious zealotry. And I really hope you'll buy the book. If you text the word data to 33777, you can get a copy of it. It is on sale at Amazon in time for the pre-release. The release is next week. I hope you'll get it. Text data to 33777.